Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. And this is Connecting Faith, and we're happy to have you connecting with us today. We'll talk a bit about education, particularly education that happens at home. It's a growing trend, not just here in our area, but really around the globe. We'll find out a little bit about that in a few minutes. Ryan Nisley, my show producer, you actually experienced the homeschooling world for a while, right?
I can confirm that, sir. Yes. As a matter of fact, half of my education from a young person up until college was at home.
Okay. So it wasn't, you didn't go to like public school half the day and then go home and get retrained?
Right.
No, it was half as in what?
In periods of whole years.
Okay.
So
right.
Half of the years, right, were at home and half of the years were at small rural schools there in eastern Montana, where I came to manhood.
Yes. And did you, was it a good experience?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there were a lot of really positive things about it. I mean, I learned a lot. I was able to, one of the things I noticed, indulge kind of the things that I was really interested in. You know, I could go deeper on those things. I had the freedom to do that. And another thing I would say is how close-knit our family became. And there are positives and negatives to that as well. But it was overall, it was a great experience.
Good. Well, you and I will enjoy our discussion today because we're going to talk to the executive director of the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators. And he's also on the board of directors for the National Alliance of Christian Home Education Leadership, which is a national organization. And he pastors at the Heritage Baptist Church in Blaine, Minnesota. David Watkins is a pastor, educator, and our guest today. David, welcome.
Thank you, Neil. It is a joy to be here.
You are also have experience as a homeschooler, right, in your family?
We do. We started homeschooling in 1986. That was the year that actually the Supreme Court of Minnesota threw out the law as being unconstitutionally vague, and so we had an opportunity at that point to rewrite the law for education and to include home education as an alternative, so we're thankful for that.
Yeah. And how many children?
We have 8 children.
Okay.
Right now they range from approximately 40 and down to age 25.
Okay.
We're kind of past our high school, but we stayed at it because we see the eternal value, not just the temporal value, but the eternal value of home education. And so we're working. We have 15 grandchildren right now, and so we want to make sure it's legal for them.
Okay. Well, let's start with that because you mentioned the laws change in Minnesota, and let's talk maybe upper Midwest and nationally as well. I mean, what is the legal status, I guess, of homeschooling today? How can you give us a sense of, is it the same everywhere in the country?
Well, actually, every state is a little bit different, but I'm grateful to be able to report that all 50 states do have home education as legal. Some have very little requirements for the parents, and some have more restrictive requirements. Usually, the state will take a position that they want to make sure everyone is educated. And, of course, our goal is to be able to show people that home education is a very great alternative. In fact, the test scores prove that. The relationship scores prove that. The interaction with employers, employees, entrepreneurs, you find home educators all over the place, and they're making a very positive contribution to society.
And, I mean, oftentimes we hear about the, spelling bee champions or geography bees or any of those kinds of things. Often discover that they're homeschooled.
Yes, they're not afraid to take a challenge on. In fact, they do very well at those types of things. So that's kind of fun because you look at the percentage of population, about 2% nationally, 2 to 2.5% of schooling children are being homeschooled. And so we look at that percentage and to see how many of those are scoring very well on different things like the national spelling tests and scoring well on the SAT test, standardized testings, and those types of things, we would turn out a good product.
And is that that 2% of the population, is that fairly spread out across every state? I mean, would every state have sort of the same amount of homeschoolers? Or are there some areas where it's very much more
It probably would be average 2 to 2.5%. Some states a little higher. The Southeast, eastern portion of the United States, and whether the populations are heavier there along the eastern seaboard, they're pretty good representation. In Minnesota, for instance, we have about right around 17,000 students who are home educated. You get to go to Dakotas, where there's not quite as many people, of course, but you'll see percentage-wise, it's going to be fairly constant to that.
Okay. You came from an international conference, so maybe we're kind of, you know, slow. Maybe this has been done around the globe, right? We're just kind of catching up here in the States.
Well, in reality, we're leading the way.
Okay.
So that was one of the reasons we held the first global home education conference in Berlin, Germany. As many of your listeners will know, Germany is a nation that has been very persecuting of home educators. They in Sweden are probably two of the worst. Kenya is another one. But we had about 25 nations represented at that conference of leaders in those various countries. And so we were able to hear firsthand the reports from particularly German homeschoolers of the pressure that they're getting. People are going to jail over there. They are literally moving from Germany to cross the border into other countries that are close to them that have open education, in a sense, for home educators. And so those particular people, to hear their stories, a very moving thing. And so they were concerned, why are you Americans over here? Because you don't, everything's going good for you. And we were able to say, 30 years ago, we were facing some of the same things you were. People going to jail, being fined, being looked at as obstinate to society, when really we just love our families and want to make sure they have the best education possible. And so Germany, they're still trying to turn out puppets, still trying to turn out people that we think are in a mold, rather than give the freedom to home educate, and of course that would probably allow other private education as well, to really raise the level and say, hey, listen, you need to take a look at this. These people will help your society. They're not recluses. We're not sticking our head in the sand and ignoring life. We are really making a difference. Right, Ryan?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And it's interesting that you sort of referenced that 30 years ago and the long train that homeschooling has taken to where it is today. But I wonder, especially, I would say the word stigma, right? I know
yes.
Growing up, there were at times a teasing fashion that was told to you, and at times more serious. Oh, homeschooler, man.
That's right.
What do you think about that stigma? Is it receding or is it still quite there?
I think it has receded a lot because, again, it was an abnormal thing, at least for our generation. I say our generation, my generation, generation ago. So you're looking at people who are going different from the culture, the norm. The people we have been told as we went up school, you can't do that because you don't have a teaching degree. Or you can't do that because you don't have as many degrees as we do. You don't have that because you don't have all of the understanding of pedagogy and the different learning styles. And I'll guarantee you, if they went to our conference, for instance, they're going to find, hey, here's how you deal with an auditory learner. Here's how you deal with a visual learner. Here's how you deal with a kinesthetic learner. And some of the people, they don't even know what those terms are. But homeschoolers do, because we're involved in how do I best communicate the educational challenges and subjects to my children.
So is that the most common objection, that there is a credentialing of the teachers of the curriculum? What are the most common objections?
That's one that will come up. Probably the biggest one is the socialization. Your poor children, they will not be able to get along with society. They won't know right from wrong. They won't have any inter-life experiences. We found that it's exactly the opposite of that. Homeschoolers are engaged as a whole. They're involved in the civic communities. They're involved in the community sports. They're involved in theater. They're involved in the arts. They're involved in music. They're all over the place. So that was really an interesting thing to think that they wouldn't be socialized. What they probably meant is they won't be turning out the same thing as we're turning out. And looking to public schools, I wouldn't know as I would necessarily as a whole endorse the public schools. Say, hey, you turn out a great character. A little bit of challenges there. I think we could maybe compare one another, and we'll see who's really turning out the person who's benefiting society and honoring the Lord.
Ryan was saying that what he appreciated, the part of it was that he could really focus on the things he was interested in. Is that a challenge that comes to you? Say, well, the curriculum is it's not a standardized curriculum.
Truly, isn't a standardized curriculum. In fact, you get to standardized curriculums, and that's why there's frustration. I mean, look at the educational dilemma today. They're wanting to turn out, we want to learn more. We're slipping in our status with other countries and certain subjects, things like that. Maybe it's because we're trying to make everybody learn the same way, and we're trying to force them to think. You take a young boy and a young girl the same age, just about everyone knows they're going to learn differently. So why do we categorize them, slow learner or a speedy learner, this type of thing? And with the home education environment, you can tailor make that curriculum to meet their needs. And so if they're an aggressive child, and they can go, by aggressive, I mean educationally, is that they can really move ahead and they just love to learn and dig in things. Well, that's great, but maybe the person is, maybe they're not quite ready to do that. So one of our children, for instance, he didn't talk until probably was 4 or 5 years old. We thought, what's going on here? Just because he's normal. And so then he had a younger brother, and the younger brother came along, and he just started shitting, chatting, and all the kind of things. All of a sudden, the other one just started talking too. They're not going to be left behind, and he hasn't stopped yet. But he developed differently. So that's a part of the educational joy we have, is being able to see we can tailor make that curriculum and tailor make it for not just the educational perspective, but the character development.
Well, we're talking all things homeschooling today, and invite you to join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you if you've have experienced it. Maybe you're in the middle of it right now or have some questions about it. Maybe you're involved in a different education system and just, have some objections or reservations. I'd love to hear about that as well. Or just any question today, you're welcome to come on board. And we'll also talk a little bit about the Minnesota Homeschool Conference, which is coming up here in a couple weeks. But I know there's conferences going on around the Upper Midwest as well, and we'll give you a website where you can go to find out more about homeschool information in your area. My guest today is David Watkins, who's a pastor, educator, and executive director of the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators. Our phone number, by the way, is 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Love to have you join in with us. We'll continue with David Watkins in just a moment. 877-933-2484. This is Connecting Faith, 17 past the hour, and talking today with David Watkins, who's a pastor at the Heritage Baptist Church, been doing that for nearly 30 years or so, and he and his wife, Linda, began home educating their 8 children back in 1986. He is the executive director of MASHE, which is the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators, and is also on the board of directors for the National Alliance of Christian Home Education Leadership. And David, we were just talking before the program, there are homeschooling groups around the country. In fact, if people wanted to find out whether they're in Sioux Falls or Waterloo or Madison, there's a website they can go to just to kind of get connected, right?
Yes. This particular organization has a website called www.beginninghomeschool.com. And on that particular website, there's a state by state map, and they can click on the particular state, and it will take them to an organization like MASHE. These are all Christian based in their worldview, and they all have various organizations. They're organizations that are year round, so they don't just put on a conference, but they're there to help homeschoolers throughout the year.
And again, that's go to the website, it's beginninghomeschool.com, and you can find a connection locally. You can go to our website if you have a question, like to email something to my guest, David Watkins. You can do that by going to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith Show page. There's an email link there. We're happy to take your question or your comment. Or you can call us at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And Ryan, you did homeschooling elementary or senior?
I actually did a little bit of both.
Okay.
There was
right.
4 years, I think from fourth grade to eighth grade, if I recollect, and then 2 years of high school, I homeschooled as well.
Is that common? Is there more done in elementary or more upper grades, or what are some general?
Probably more elementary to begin with, because most people are not real sure that they can do this, and so there's a little bit of fear and trepidation. Once they get started, I think they're able to find out this is really not that hard. In the sense of it is possible. It doesn't mean it's not work. It does mean, though, that the challenges are different. There are some who will begin home educating For instance, when we started, our oldest son was going into eighth grade, so we had four in school at that point, and that was a kind of a major load for my wife, to be sure, all of a sudden, but it was a great joy for us, and we've seen the significant benefits of that. But as the homeschooling movement has grown, there are more and more people that have opted to go on to high school. They begin to realize that, my students are doing fine. They're testing just fine. And if they aren't, well, then they can have resources that they can avail themselves of. So high schooling is becoming more and more popular, I think. But elementary probably to start with, can we do this and get 2 or 3 years and find out, it's not that bad.
What's the biggest challenge for parents thinking about it, or that sort of holds them back? Is it I don't know that we can do this, or I didn't have I don't have advanced degrees, or what?
Oftentimes, well, a variety of things. The first place would be like, well, I'm not a teacher, so I don't know how to teach. Really, that's a common misconception. Because you just need to stay one step ahead of your student. So it's not like you have to know everything about every subject. The things that perhaps you don't know, a little uncomfortable with, there are support groups and co-ops around in many places that you can connect with and get that extra resource that's available. So we encourage people to check that out too. So a lot of times it's a matter of, I don't have an education degree. At the same time, I realize that if you stay one step ahead, you're going to learn along with your child. That's a better way to learn, because you're learning along with them the things that you thought you knew that you realize you didn't.
One of the things that my mom will always say, she was kind of the primary educator in our situation. She says, I learned just as much, if not more, than my kids. And she also was very resourceful in getting aides to help her along the way. For instance, we had a lot of videos in our educational program.
Yes.
Correspondence videos. And we also had experts that she knew, whether it was our uncle or our cousin, especially in mathematics. I still struggle with mathematics, but she was able to bring in people that really helped me along the way. And I know that was just incredibly appreciated, to be able to have that sort of community resource.
Yes.
In the education.
For the students that are in their junior and senior years, for instance, in high school, too, in Minnesota, we have the post-secondary education option, so they can take advantage of that also if they want to move on to a little higher element of a particular subject matter.
And on Northwestern College is a great resource. I mean, many students of PSEO are homeschooled, coming to Northwestern, or using Northwestern curriculum.
Yes, and we've had 2 or 3 of our children have used the PSEO at Northwestern. And so those options are available in other states as well, too. So it's a matter of if you want to do it, you can find the resources. And today, the resources are just absolutely phenomenal, either online. At our conference, we have exhibit hall full of variety of curriculums, resources that are available to homeschoolers. So, it is wonderful. 30 years ago, we had to go to the library to find it. We couldn't even buy books from the educational people that were from a Christian perspective. The homeschoolers, what are you doing out there? But now, they're marketing to homeschoolers because they realize that this is a very viable educational alternative.
David Watkins is my guest today. We're talking homeschooling. I'd love to hear your story if you have been or are involved. Just like to find out how it's going for you, and maybe you have a specific question that David could answer. He's executive director of the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators, also on the board of directors for the National Alliance of Christian Home Education Leadership. The number is 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. David, obviously the name Christian is tied in with your organization, both here locally in Minnesota, but also on the national group. That's a key part of it. I mean, there are many homeschooling organizations.
Yes.
And people that homeschool for a variety of reasons.
And I think probably, and for certainly the United States, the majority of people that are selecting home education are doing so because of the value system that they want to make sure that they're imparting to their children, along with good education. Because the worldview makes a difference, and they're going to make decisions all their life based upon the worldview as their foundation. And so if you don't get that foundation there, it's going to hurt them later on. 15, 20, 30 years down the line, they're not going to be able to think as critically because their worldview is going to be messed up. And so our goal as Christian educators is to make sure, first place, that Jesus Christ is put out there as the authority, the Word of God. that is important for us as an organization, and realizing that there are other groups that maybe don't hold that view, but for us, that's very important because of the fact that worldview is going to make a difference all of their life.
When you and your wife decided to start, you said your oldest was in eighth grade.
Yes.
So, and she took up the responsibility. What was your role in that, how did that change maybe after the first year or first few weeks or so?
Well, probably about 3 to 4 weeks after we started, it was all new to us. We didn't have a lot of curriculum, so it's kind of like, well, I sure hope this works. because we were committed to our children, and so we did not want to make an unwise move. But for us, we needed to do that. Our fourth child had some learning disabilities that we were trying to figure out how do we help her. We had her in the public school for a little bit, in preschool. They gave her all kinds of tests, and we had thousands of dollars worth of speech therapy and neurologist testing and things to find out what's the difference, or why isn't the processing the same as others. And so we began to realize that she needed one-on-one instruction. We thought, well, we can't afford a tutor necessarily, but we've heard about this home education stuff for a year or two. And so we thought, maybe we better take a look at that. So we did, and we found out that's the direction we need to go. So really it was kind of the learning disabilities types of things that we were trying to address and realize that we all can do this. And so when we did that, my wife called me about 3 or 4 weeks later after we started, and on the phone, I was at the office, and she said, I have never felt more fulfilled in all my life. And I still remember that because it impacted me to realize that, you know, we have sent our children off to good schools, Christian schools, as well. But the desire that my wife had to nurture and develop her children, was being seen in a new way. She wasn't just turning them over to someone else. And so, as we grow up, and I think of the good teachers that I have had in the past, I think of a bunch of bad teachers I had in the past. but the ones that are good, you develop a like for them. They mean something. And so, if you realize that if the parent is the general, the teacher, not only are you investing the life from a parental standpoint, you're investing the life from the teacher, and that builds a very strong, cohesive unit if it's done properly. Ryan, we were kind of talking about that a while ago as well, is that the strength of the family is greatly enhanced through home education. So that's one of the joys for us, is not just about education, it's the strength of the family that we see as a result.
We'll come back and circle back and talk about that a little bit more, but we got a couple of minutes. Let's grab Aaron's call. He's listening in Clear Lake. Aaron, thanks for calling. We got a couple of minutes. I'll let you state your question, and we'll probably answer it after the break. But go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, my wife and I are actually thinking about homeschooling. And so far, we've been looking online for so many different things to get. But really, my question is, when you're homeschooling, how do you know when you're doing a good enough job, or when they've learned, if they're learning enough at where they're at, how do you rate? That's about it.
All right. Aaron, it's a great question. I'll let you hang up and listen, or you can listen on hold if you want. We've got a break coming up in a minute, and David will give you a chance to kind of formulate an answer to that. I think that's maybe one of the questions that many of us have. You mentioned that you kind of got involved as a result of a special need for one of your children. I want to talk about special needs children and how homeschooling makes a difference there. And let's get to some of the other things. Find out about if grandparents are more involved now, as grandparents end up raising grandchildren a bit. So we'll get some perspective on that. You may have a question like Aaron's. I've been thinking about it, but just wondering, like to get some more information. You're welcome to give us a call. The number is 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Or you can go online. It's myfaithradio.com. And then click on the Connecting Faith show page. And you can drop us a note that way. Or you can go into Facebook as well, right?
Just search Connecting Faith on Facebook. We're on Twitter, too.
That's right.
At Connecting Faith, FR.
All sorts of options. And we'd love to have your comments or questions. And we'll continue here with David Watkins in just a moment, who's a pastor and educator and executive director of the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators and on the board of the National Alliance of Christian Homeschool Education Leadership. More in a moment. 22 past the hour. I'm talking today with David Watkins, who is a pastor at Heritage Baptist Church in the suburban of Twin Cities, and he's also an educator and executive director of the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators. He's on the board of the for the National Alliance of Christian Home Education Leadership, and is passionate about home education, Christian home education, the importance of encouraging and equipping young home educating families. And there is a conference, the MSHE, the Minnesota Conference, coming up in Rochester, Minnesota, here in a couple of weeks. We'll talk a bit about that. David, I want to pick up Aaron's question. He's thinking about it. He and his wife have just been talking about it. But how do they know if you're teaching the right stuff and if your kids are learning enough?
Great question. I would presume, without speaking with Aaron, that his children are probably younger, and so they're trying to think this through. But whether or not they're younger, that's a great question. For MSHE, I know that we, in our annual conference, which is April the 18th, 19th, and 20th in Rochester at the Mayo Civic Center this year, we have on Thursday pre-conference tracks, and three of those tracks. One is dealing with how to begin homeschooling, what do you need to know, what the law says, and it will deal with things like that, the testing requirements. Minnesota, for instance, has a we have a responsibility to test our children once a year with standardized testings or tests, and those particular tests can give a little bit of a benchmark where the, you know, their student kind of is based on a national level. The problem with some of those, of course, is it's comparison, and Scripture warns us not to compare ourselves with one another, lest it would be unwise, so it would be unwise to do that. But there's some value to kind of see where are they as a general whole. And then you can begin to address those particular areas of weakness, perhaps, or maybe a strength to say, oh, hey, I'm doing just fine there, and so let's not worry about that. But as far as being able to discern, are they ready to go on? And sometimes it's just a little at a time. You take a step at a time. You don't have to, you're not going to finish your subject all to start with. And so you take a step at a time, and they will learn. Parents are normally very attuned to their students, where they are. So their children, they know their children better than anyone else. That is, unless they turn over to a preschool and things like this, and they don't really spend time with their children. But they're, if they have had a good opportunity with their children, they're picking up where their interests are, where they're, if they're just out of interest, well, then don't keep shoving something down them. And so you teach them kind of like you strike while the iron's hot. They learn at their own paces, but you want to have a structure, too. And we talk about that, how to organize your time, what you need to do as far as the curriculum choices, what works best for you. So MSHE holds workshops around the state periodically in conjunction with support groups on how to get started and then how to teach high school. So those two issues are probably the ones that we see the greatest need there. And so we have people who are veteran homeschoolers that have gone down the road. They know what they're talking about, and they put the workshops on. And with the conference, we do that as well.
I think Aaron's in northern Iowa, so not too far away from Rochester. Could go there. But Iowa has a homeschool association as well, right?
Yes. So, I think you thought you said Clear Waters to Clear Lake.
Clear Lake. Clear Lake, yes.
Yes, yeah. Iowa has the NICH conference, and I believe their conference, I think, is in June. It's either May or June. But again, he could go to the beginninghomeschool.com website, and they will be one of the organizations listed there on that website if they'll click Iowa. And then Wisconsin has a Christian organization that is meeting, Wisconsin CHIA, we call it, Christian Home Educators Association. They have a conference in May coming up as well. So there are other options around. Minnesota is the largest regional one, so we pull from a variety of states in Canada. We have people who come all the way from Montana, Ryan, believe it or not, that are because we put on a good conference and a lot of information is there. But the other states are doing that job, too, and we'd be happy to connect them with that. Again, beginninghomeschooling.com will help them find that.
So did you study all day long? Was it, 8:30 to 5 sort of thing for you, or with the recess and lunch or whatever?
It was very, it was very structured. We would also make time, during the studies to go out and have recess and tear around the yard a little bit or play some baseball, play some catch, which was cool. But mom, definitely tried to add that structure into it to let us know, I think, that, hey, you're in school. You're not on vacation. You need to get your work done. And there were deadlines, things like that, structure that was built into it. And I think that seemed important to me. I don't know if that's something that you guys talk about, but it seemed like it was important for me.
It is. In fact, one of the sessions at our pre-conference track is organizing your time, because we know And there are various philosophies on that. Some of the unschoolers, called unschooling, this kind of like, oh, we'll just do whatever we feel like doing. Well, maybe that works with a few people, but most of us need structure. And the structure, if it's orchestrated correctly, you can learn more in 3 hours at home education than you can in 6 or 7 hours at the public school because of all the breaks, the variety of interruptions. You got to wait on a student who's slower, or you got whatever, and so you have boredom factors in there. But the home educators, 3 to 4 hours a good study, they can accomplish as much. So if you say, well, I want to have a 6 hour day, well, you can go farther. So you're not held back if you want to do more. So that's a good opportunity. But organization, I think, is a key element, but not to be too organized. And that's another problem. So it's like, well, I just got to do this. I got to do this. I got to finish this book. I've got to finish this chapter. Hey, nobody does that in the educational realm as a whole, a few people. But so you don't have to get bent out of shape because you left a chapter out of the book and you didn't get finished. Maybe it was a chapter you didn't need anyway. So you can craft that and find out kind of where you're going. And the standardized testing, I think, according to Aaron's concern, would help him kind of monitor that on a year-by-year basis.
Sure. Now, I know we touched on just a little bit earlier about the learning styles. It seems like those that are in pursuing homeschooling, I mean, we've heard a lot about the various learning styles, but it seems like those that are doing it at home are really making it work, right? Or, I mean, because there's a lot of curriculum now that's really changed based on how kids learn.
Yes. Because we have 8 children, they all learn differently, we found out. They're not all the same. So we didn't have 8 puppets. We had 8 people who are thinking differently, and their responses are different. And so as we kind of learn, and we had to learn with them, I mean, sometimes, sad for them, there weren't all those resources out there, but, we're doing the best we could as well. But you have somebody who, he can read, he's a great reader, and all you do, give him a book, and he's fine. But you have somebody else who maybe he's active, he's got to touch something and deal with something and, work on a craft or something, and he learns differently. And so to be able to take that and then translate that, make sure they're getting their core subjects, but not to where they just sit them in front of a book and the poor child is bored to death and he hates schooling. I mean, that happens in the public schools. I mean, how many of us have had those kinds of experiences? Well, it was a negative experience. So you want to find where's their bent? It's another way of looking at it from scripture. You train up a child and away you go. That bent, what do you really like? Well, use that and mold that for the glory of God, and he'll love his education. If you try to jam a visual learner with auditory stuff, it's going to drive him crazy.
So do you still keep the core subjects, reading, writing, and arithmetic? But just presented in a way that's more palatable, maybe.
Yes, sure, because you do want them to learn those things. And so it's not that you just throw them out the window because it takes a more regimen maybe to do that. But the different styles of education will address that. And you take a look at those opportunities, how they're responding, how they're doing on their test scores individually, those types of things. And you can kind of monitor that and find out, do we need to change curriculum? Maybe a BEC is great in one area for your child, but maybe the math portion is not as good. And somebody say, hey, well, I want to go with Saxon math over here, but I may want to do something else over here. Or, hey, I like Bob Jones, or I like Rod and Staff, or I like In My Father's World, or things like this. And they're all a little bit different. So you find out which one is there. And one of the reasons that we have the exhibit hall, people can talk with the exhibitors and find out what does your product do, rather than just make a decision online and say, well, this looks like I'll try it, and then find out it's not. So there's a benefit to actually talking with the people who wrote the curriculum, who designed it, how does it work for a particular individual.
Are there some distinctive differences when it comes to curriculum in terms of, major differences, or are they all, kind of pretty much the same? Or what guidelines would you give to someone thinking about, well, I'm interested, but I don't know what to start, or, what curriculum do I pick?
That's where the workshops will help kind of talk about that, probably better than I could do on radio necessarily, but the options are there too. So and they can pick up a phone call. One of our speakers will be Diane Kraft. She is excellent. She deals with a lot with our learning, struggling learners, we call them, those with special needs. And about probably close to a third of the families have someone in their family who would be classified special needs of some sort. So a lot of families with special needs children are saying, hey, we're going to take a look at this because we want to give help to our child, whether it's Asperger's or learning disabilities of some sort. There are a variety of options, but we have a desire to help bless them too.
So special, I mean, that I think sometimes is an argument raised that, well, public education has, they're equipped to handle special needs children, but you're saying that it's often that special need that draws families into.
Yes. Well, many of them, and we're an example as well, we had a child in the, quote, special needs division, and so we went there to, look and find out what's going on and just be involved a little bit, and we began to realize the vast number of special needs in that particular class. If you have several children, and they will, you can't meet with their need one-on-one. It's very difficult, so they lump them all together, and they get more federal dollars. Well, fine, but are you meeting the needs of a child? And that's the concern that we have. And so you put them in a classroom situation, most of them are not going to do well. They need it one-on-one. Their needs are different. Each one is so distinctly different that it's a challenge, and that's why many people are opting to home educate with their special needs children.
Ryan and I were talking before the program about, how do you avoid maybe any sort of contention with the public and homeschool communities? I mean, small community where, eastern Montana where Ryan grew up, or even my small town as well, but there can be a little bit of tension sometimes, right?
Yes. probably the reason for in the smaller towns, probably is going to be more of a challenge because our society, interestingly enough, over the last 100 years particularly, has really developed around the public school system. And because there's an interest to make sure our students are educated, school became the hub of the community. So you have your sports, and so sports began to drive things. And the consolidated schools, I grew up in a small town in northwest Missouri, and that particular, we had, I think, 7,000 in the town. We had parochial schools. We had public schools. We had what was called a laboratory school. I'm a laboratory kid. That's an interesting crew. I'll explain more about laboratory schools some other time.
All right.
but the different things. But the public school became the hub of the community in those areas. It used to be the church, and then all of a sudden it's a public school because we all don't agree theologically. So, hey, we all agree we want education, so we're going to put everybody together. And you have that hub, and so for those that are more of the outstate population, there would be a little bit more of a challenge because sometimes people say, oh, our education is not good enough for you, huh? And it becomes we're not intending that. It's just that we feel like for our children, it's going to be a better road, home educate. It's not necessarily a slam on the school. Now, some schools, maybe it would be if they're not turning out a good product. But it's really just parents who say, we love our children. We want to make sure the worldview that they're getting is not orchestrated by some educrat in Washington or some educrat in Minnesota or Wisconsin or Iowa, but that we're investing our children. So the local school board is not so local anymore. They're maybe more of a puppet than they are, and because the educrats that are higher up the line.
Hey, let's take a call from Sherry. Sherry's listening in Cottage Grove. And Sherry, you had a good experience homeschooling?
Oh, absolutely. We had three sons, the oldest one 45 and go down to 35 this year, and we homeschooled the last one. I wish we had homeschooled them all, but at that time they didn't really know much about the homeschool later, for the 40-year-olds. But anyway, it was the best decision we ever made. I tell you, people, we used to get, we lived in a small town, and we used to get more heat over it, they'll turn out to be antisocial and all this kind of thing. Well, I had him in music, and then I had him in baseball in the summer. And when he got all through school, he excelled, tremendously. And every time he took the Iowa-Missouri test, he was always in the top 5%. Then his senior year, he was, I might be saying this wrong, he was like the valedictorian, voted valedictorian. I think.
Valedictorian, sure.
For the girls, but I forget the name for the boys. Okay. But all his life he excelled. He had his master's degree in his early 20s, so I would do it all over again. I really do. And then they had a calm about them. They just, I have friends that homeschool their kids, and there's just a calmness about them. I don't understand it, but anyway, we had a wonderful experience. I would do it all over again.
Good for you, Sherry. Thanks for sharing. Appreciate your call.
I would agree with her. I'd do it all over again, too. Our only difference, Neil, we would have started early. I mean, we would have started when our oldest was going into kindergarten instead of eighth grade. But that's water under the bridge right now. It's been a great experience for us. A lot of learning. We learn with them. But what a joy to watch the product as it keeps unfolding and beginning to blossom and bloom. And our children are great children. I hope they're listening.
Yeah, sure. Brownie points.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure it's quite significantly different now than it was, you know, 30 years ago as well.
So. Yes.
We'll continue our discussion more talking homeschooling with David Watkins, who serves as the executive director of the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators. He's also on the board of directors for the National Alliance of Christian Home Education Leadership. By the way, we mentioned a website a couple times. You want to find out more about maybe a group in your area, beginninghomeschool.com. Beginninghomeschool.com is a place you can check out. And there's also the Mache Conference, the Homeschool Educators Conference, coming up in Rochester in a couple weeks here in a little bit later in April. More on that in a moment. And we take your calls, 877-933-2484. Well, it's 49 past the hour, and talking today Christian home education with David Watkins, who's a pastor and educator and executive director of the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators. They have their homeschooling conference coming up in Rochester, Minnesota, April 18, 19, 20. Here in just a few days. And David, you know, Ryan Nisley, my show producer, a product of homeschool education, and seems like he's socialized fairly well. But I don't know.
Yeah, I was kind of casing him out too when I found out to just see does this product really, it looks so far so good. I'm impressed.
I mean, if there's one thing, I mean, friends and people that I just meet when we start talking about school that they ask more than anything else is that social interaction portion of things, you know, friend. And it's like, what would you say to somebody, maybe a parent who is looking at that decision? They're probably hearing the exact same things, you know, and it's a legitimate concern that they have because they want to turn out a socially adept human being. What would you say to that parent, that individual looking at it?
The interesting question is, because the homeschoolers, we found the exact opposite is true. Most of them are very engaged. They're not afraid to talk with people. Where in the public arena, normally there is the peer dependence. The peers think more of themselves than they do of other people. And so you have all your graded thought processes. Well, life isn't like that. You know, sitting in this room right now, Neil, you and I have a few years over Ryan, perhaps. And so there's a different culture there. But Ryan, you can talk with us. I'm impressed. And you can actually carry on a conversation with us. And so can other homeschool graduates, but homeschoolers that are going through that. They're engaged on a variety of levels. So it's not just we're going to put everybody in a classroom, the sixth graders or the third graders or whatever, and all they can do is think about third grade stuff. They interact with adults. And so you look at the homeschooler, they interact with adults. We were at a store just 2-3 weeks ago, brought a new product and cell phone type thing, and the gentleman was sitting there. He's probably a little younger than I am. I guess everyone's a little younger than but so I just didn't say that. But and so he looked, he looked at my son. He said, "You're homeschooled, aren't you?" And my son said, "Yes." And he said, "I can tell. I can tell every time." And now what he was really saying is there's a distinct difference. There are mannerisms as a whole, how they get along with people. They can talk with adults. They can talk with children. They can talk with teenagers. So the socialization aspect is really probably the biggest myth out there for homeschoolers. They're very engaged from a social perspective.
Let's get in a call from Jennifer listening in Hutchinson today. Jennifer, go ahead. You're on with David Watkins.
Okay, just because of the socialization was the last thing you're talking about. I can echo that wholeheartedly as a parent. When people ask me, you know, what about socialization? And I say, exactly. I don't want them being socialized by a bunch of people their age and having the person with the strongest personality being able to influence them in their decisions. I want them, like you said, life is never about being with a group of same-aged people. You know, it's about being able to interact with all ages. But, I have four children, a five-year-old, 5, 7, 9, and 11. So we're sixth grade, fourth grade, and second grade just finishing up here. And it's been a great, great experience for our family. We've been going to the homeschool conference since my oldest was three. We knew he wasn't going to be a good fit in a traditional public school just because he is a boy, and I just he had a lot of energy, and I just knew he wasn't going to be able to fit for the long periods of time that you know classrooms need to have that kind of order.
Well, Jennifer, congratulations, and wish you well as you continue to provide some good Christian education at home there. Thanks for your call today.
And, Jennifer, if you're still listening, when you come to the conference, stop by the information booth. We'll get a gift. Thanks for calling in. We'll bless you for blessing us.
Good. That sounds good. Say, we want to, before our time's gone, say a word about grandparents. Are grandparents becoming more involved in homeschooling as they end up raising their grandchildren?
Well, that's why we're still involved, Neil.
Okay.
because the grandparenting is an issue. Every grandparent wants to see their grandchildren succeed. And so when we first started, you know, our parents were, they were behind us, but it was kind of like, I don't know about this. As our children have grown and matured and they were able to communicate with our parents, and our parents thankfully are still alive. They're way up in their years now, but, our children love them, in wonderful ways where the, our parents' friends, their children, many of them did not turn out well. They were involved in a variety of decisions because they were, again, influenced by the wrong kinds of people. And as a result of that, their product was kind of weak. And so my folks now, and my wife's parents, they're able to, they brag on their grandchildren. And look at our grandchildren. They're not trying to make a big issue of it, but where before they weren't sure if they should even say anything about our grandchildren, our home educating. But as the product has turned out, they realize there's a joy, there's a maturity, a genuine love for people and a concern, and they're proud of that. So grandparents want to see their grandchildren succeed, and when they see that, they need to stay on board. In fact, of the homeschoolers that are still listening, maybe if their children have graduated, I encourage them to stay involved because they need that mentorship of the older generations gone through that. You know, don't bail out. Stay involved. In fact, we have workshops that we do, grandparents' tea. We've talked at a variety of state conferences, conventions about how to get grandparents involved and what can you do to help your children. Not take over for them, but how can you encourage them and help them come alongside them? Because really we're looking at generational connections. And that's another beauty of the Christian homeschool focus. It's generational connections. It's not just turning out a smart child.
Well, in fact, you've said that there is the benefit of close-knit families that I assume there's probably exceptions to every rule, but there is a closeness probably that happens that wouldn't happen without that education component.
Well, we have to learn how to learn to live with each other. You know, you put in our case 8 children and a mom there, and they're all different, and so my interests are different, someone else's interests, and so we have to learn how to get along with each other. What about forgiveness? What about making things right? What about telling the truth? And what about being respectful? Even when you don't agree. I mean, those kind of things, those are real life relationships, and those stresses will show up in the family. So sometimes, back to our conference, we deal with those type of things too. What about anger? What about, you know, mismanagement of time? There are a variety of things that will enter into that. So it's relationship building and not just educational building.
And you still have to do the homework, apparently.
Yes, you do.
So that's the part that was kind of caught up with me.
Hey, but the fun thing is it's all at home. You can do it in your spare time.
Sure. Yeah. So did your kids did they dress up and I mean you had a special place where they worked or did they?
Well, we were limited with our space, but table. But yes, we wanted them to get up. For us, it wasn't. You don't stay in your pajamas all day long. Yeah. You get up, you get dressed, you make your bed. You know, there are certain a regimen you go through, and my wife's a great organizer and those types of things, and I'm appreciative of that very much. And so that creates some structure. So if they're going to be going out and playing softball or something, well, you don't wear as quite as good a clothes. But we, in a sense, had school clothes. You dress neatly and nicely, and you come around the table, and we all are together in the early morning hours. And then later on, when you go outside and play in the mud, you change clothes.
Good. All right. Well, our time is gone. I want to mention again the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators, their conference, the homeschool conference is coming up in Rochester. It's April 18 through 20, right?
Yes. So,
right.
And, Neil, the website for them, it would be mache.org. And all the information is on there, the speakers, the subject matter, how to register, it's all there. So mache.org.
All right, check it out. Again, it's a significant conference, happens every year, and we're glad to have David Watkins with us today, who serves as the executive director of MACHE, the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators. David, blessings to you. Thanks so much for coming by today.
Well, it's a joy. I look forward to hearing good reports.
Good. You're listening to Connecting Faith. Again, you can check out their website, mache.org. Of course, you can always check out our website. We post the podcasts after the show, and so you can pass them on to a friend and listen for a part that you missed. It's myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.